Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. Welcome to your match preview for Chelsea versus Everton, the points deduction derby, as Chelsea, I'm sure, will be facing some charges later on in the year, along with Manchester City and their 115. I'm back in the UK now. I'm now still facing the horrendous British weather. It has been too bad over the past couple of days, actually. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to go back and just eat some wonderful food and feel so much better myself. And Tom is also here, and he is also back from La Francia, as I'd like to say it right now. It's just me and him tonight. Tomas, how are we?
Hiya. Yeah, good, mate. Would I like to still be in the south of France in the sun? Yes. Am I back in France in the sun? No. But I'll be back. Yeah, no, life's okay. I mean, Chelsea can't win a game. Well, we can. That's a lie. We did win one on Thursday. But we've dropped points again against another, you know, a team that are... Well, we can discuss that later in our one discussion on what we think of Sheffield United. But they're not a great side. And that's, as you'll read out in a second, more drop points against another team fighting for their survival in this league. But, you know, another day, a boring day in Chelsea, it never happened, so we can't complain.
No, I mean, it used to be quite interesting because we'd be, like, thereabouts in European places fighting for Champions League and we would be happy. Now I'd be happy with Conference League, but I did say that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Is what it is, you know. Also, before we start, right, because you're in France and I was in Italy, did you see my Instagram story the other day where I was talking about the French and how they're only good at marketing?
I did not see that. I'd like to clarify before you elaborate on this to all our wonderful viewers, including those from Australia. I am not French.
He just pretends to be.
Basically.
Yeah, he speaks French, but he just pretends to be French. That's just Tom.
Speak it, but that doesn't mean I'm actually French. Anyway, carry on. Your story.
Okay, right. Okay, so point one, we'll talk about food, right? Food-wise, French food is, you know, haute cuisine, supposed to be the best in the world. Why is it not the most eaten food? Why do people prefer Italian food more? Why do people might go find tapas? How many French restaurants, you know, people go to, right?
There are loads. That leads...
Okay, name me one French restaurant which isn't that one with the steak.
The one with the steak. There are loads of French restaurants, loads of bistros all around the place.
Loads of what, sorry?
Bistro.
Oh, okay.
And there are loads of brasseries, like French... I don't know why I'm defending the French.
Okay, but they're not actually French. You could
And there's French cuisine influences in your basic restaurants as well.
Like?
Well, you go to a pub, you're gonna get a creme brulee. That's French.
Okay, yeah, but it's not when people talk about French cuisine, like, you don't see it around as much. There's influences, but not as much. Do you know what I mean? And when you bistros, if you say Côte Brasserie is a French bistro, you can't.
Well, no, that's not what I'm talking about. If you go into central London, they're everywhere. These fancy French bistros, or the slightly less fancy ones. Then you've got the chains, just like Italian cuisine has their chains as well. I think the big thing here... In fact, no, you carry on. You finish your story, and I'll see if I still want to interject.
When they talk about the language of love, right... The reason they're really good at marketing is because they've got Pepe Le Pew, right? The Mediterranean does it better. And people even in the south of France hate the French. Just saying. Nice considers itself more Italian than it does French. So that's that. So basically that argument's null and void because, it does basically. It is what it is. Game's a game. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. I'm just the messenger, all right? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think that's true.
We're going to move on to the third one. Cheese.
Yeah.
Italians do cheese better than the French.
I mean, I fundamentally disagree, but, and this is so me to combine two of my favourite things, stats and cheese. Statistically, and I don't have the exact stats on this, but the most popular cheeses are often, every year, it's pretty much always Parmesan and mozzarella because they're the two most adaptable cheeses. You can use them on everything. And also, like, Parmesan goes on pasta dishes, mozzarella goes on pizzas, so they're used all the time.
So you're just reinforcing my argument because it's more universal.
I agree, more universal. That doesn't mean it's better, in my opinion, and that's the beauty of life.
Have you ever had Parmesan with walnuts and proper balsamic vinegar?
I haven't, but I have had brie with walnuts and honey, and it's delicious.
Okay, I'm going to, next time you're over, I'm going to change your life.
With Parmesan, walnuts, and balsamic vinegar. That does sound lovely.
Not just any balsamic vinegar. This ain't the runny shit.
M&S balsamic vinegar.
No, it's not even M&S. This is Beneventi balsamic vinegar. That's what this is. You saw my story. You saw my cousin 17 million times removed.
For the, Oh, no.
Made out of grapes.
I was going to make a joke, but I don't know enough about balsamic vinegar, even after you educated me a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a massive tangent. Worth it, though.
That's just this.
Yeah, but anyway, that's that. That's my point, right? The French, and they talk about culture, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Italians do that better.
I don't necessarily disagree on that point, because I've been to Rome a few times. I've been to Paris. Well, I spent 6 months in Paris, and I prefer Rome.
Mm-hmm. And the people in Paris are really rude and they're nasty and they're horrible people.
They are. I'll agree on those 2 points. I think there's more to other places in Italy. I think Italian architecture is generally nicer than French architecture. I'll agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And also, while outside of you know Sacro Coeur, the Eiffel Tower, maybe a little bit of Montparnasse, right? You could just go to Blackpool to see the same thing, right? That's the given, right? Yes, it's a little bit smaller, but you know what? Doesn't matter, right? And also, the one in Blackpool wasn't used as a Nazi torture chamber, so automatically that one wins. So you know, it's one of those situations where just the French just are really good at marketing, and they just overhype themselves quite significantly. But that's my point anyway.
I will, before we wrap up and talk about what we're here to talk about, which of course is our beloved Chelsea. I agree and disagree with some of your points. I disagree with the first three. I agree that Paris in particular is massively overrated, having spent a lot of time there. I actually really like Paris, but it's got a reputation, and there is a reason that it has its own syndrome named after it. When all the happy Asians come over, and then it's actually kind of a dirty, normal city and not this romantic, you know, lovely place. And I agree about the architecture. But other than that, I don't know. I think French cheese is better than Italian cheese. Although I do like Italian cheeses. What else did you say?
Food, just in general. Food in culture. General.
Food in general is close, because I love Italian food. I think Italian food is more marketable or more popular for, like, you're going to have a general meal, you're more likely to go Italian because you've got all the pizzas, all the pastas. But I don't think you can say that French food isn't everywhere, and it definitely influences more than people think. Love language, I don't know. I think they're both nice languages. I probably would say Italian is a slightly nicer language.
Yeah, as a man who speaks both, you know, I do.
Both nice languages. So Spanish, all those Latin languages are nice.
This, with my recent, you know, census survey of one person, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's been a quiet few months for me. You know, I've been devoted to the Chels,
and they have tried to be devoted to us. Well, some of them anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we talk about them?
Talk about tangents into segues. Boom, we do it again every single time. So, let's talk about Sheffield United. I'm going to be brutally honest. That first half was so boring, I actually fell asleep for the last 15 of it.
Calls himself a fan, this guy. Thick and thin.
Can I be honest? I made the mistake of getting straight off the plane and my friend saying, we're going to go and have one drink. I was like, yeah, go on then. I've not seen you for a little while. We'll have one. I was in a casino at 5 a.m.
See, that's a good effort. I landed on Thursday at just after 6. My flight was delayed. I dashed home, dumped my bag, and immediately went to Stamford Bridge. I was quite impressed with that effort to get there. Actually, I got to the pub for, I think, 7:15. So I managed to get there. A really rapid effort. I was very impressed.
Did you land at Gatwick, I'm guessing?
Heathrow. That was, if it's Gatwick, I would have been. Actually, Gatwick's okay on the train, though. I did have to get an Uber from Heathrow, otherwise it was impossible. I'll admit that. But I was pretty impressed with that effort. And then, obviously, I'm glad I went. At one point, I was like, oh, well, this is shit. And then we won. But, yeah, to immediately land and then go and watch Sheffield United, I, too, would probably need to go and be in a casino at 5 a.m.
Yeah, no, it was. I was up for a solid 25 hours before that game, so that was my own doing.
This guy's built different, yeah, guys.
I'm be honest, lads. I am a fucking machine. Let's just say how it is, and I am a beast. You know, I do what other people don't expect. What I was sat in a jazz bar at 2:30 in the morning. Then I went to the casino.
Billy Bigcock, whatever. What do we call him?
Oh, Roberto Di Bigcock.
This is him. This is the real Roberto Di Bigcock.
Roberto got straight off the plane.
He went to Italy for a bit, drowned himself in balsamic vinegar, and came back with just a slightly more testosterone. And there he is, 25 hours later.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
anyway,
exactly it.
Anyway, we're tangenting again.
No, but yeah, look, I think, look, the first half, look, great finish from Thiago Silva, cool. But to have that much possession and do nothing with it is just so Chelsea. It's just so Chelsea.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because again, like we seem to keep doing this as taking scoring the first goal, and then you're like, right, okay, now take control of the game. We just don't. We let the other teams in. We're going to talk about this later on. The defenders. We'll probably talk about the goalkeeper as well. But I'm really unsure at the moment about how good Enzo and Caicedo are. I know their quality, don't get me wrong, but they're not, and Enzo's obviously come out publicly and said it this week that he's not quite delivering what he can. And it's quite frustrating at the moment for me, is that we should be taking control, especially again against the Sheffield United team who, I mean, they haven't won a game in a long time. They're obviously going down. We go to their place, we score first. We should then dominate the game. And as you say, we have all that possession, and then they score. I think Kiba should do better, but there you go. And then we score again. Nice goal from Nonny. And then right at the end, just boot the ball away. He's taken Cole Palmer off. Again, we'll discuss that in more detail because that annoyed me. And then they score at the death, and that's two more points dropped. And at one point, we're right up United's arse now, to put it in echo terms. You know, really, really closing in on United, which who would have thought that like 2 months ago? And United, they got a good result against Liverpool, but until that mistake from Kwanzaa, they were nowhere near. They were awful. I didn't think they were very good against us, and then we let them back into the game again. Mistake from Caicedo. It's just every game we repeat itself, and we got bailed out by Cole Palmer and a couple of dubious penalties against United. And we didn't get bailed out this time. And then, you know, we're playing Everton, who seem to be the kings of the low block this season in the league, which we'll get
Sean
to later.
Dyche. I expect nothing less.
I've got some really good stats on them later. You'll see. But, so it's not going to get easier, is all I'm going to say. But we haven't lost.
It feels like it, though, doesn't it?
Because they are terrible.
It's you think that in the last four games, or of the last few games, right, we've faced Newcastle, Manchester United, Burnley, and Sheffield United,
and Brentford, and you would have
thought in two of those games that wasn't winnable. That wasn't going to happen. We win both of those games and then draw the other three.
Yeah.
When it's like realistic, that is six drop points, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you look where Brentford, Burnley, Sheffield United are on the table, and you look at their respective form going into the games, that there's no other way of describing it other than that is six drop points. I mean, it was 10-man Burnley. It's a Brentford side who are just completely devoid of confidence, and we actually nearly went 3-1 down to them as well. Obviously, Reguilón hitting the post. And then the Sheffield United side, who we had beaten in the 93rd minute, we were ahead, and we still concede to Ollie McBurnie. Like, it's painful. It's painful, but it could be worse. We are still in the mix. We're ninth. It's just we've shipped two goals in our last seven Premier League games now, at least two goals. But the caveat, the positive caveat to that is that we haven't actually lost a Premier League game since Wolves, which was on February the 4th. So it's over 2 months. But you know,
I mean, I don't know. I think as much as that is a great positive, that feels like a positive that you'd use if you were coaching like an under fives team. You know, I'd be a bit we didn't lose. It's like, we didn't lose, guys. Come on. But it's like when Nonny Madueka comes out, it's like, oh yeah, the dressing room's silent. I'm like, yeah, okay, Nonny, I get that. But what are we doing to change that? You know, I'm looking at the table now, right? So if we take those three games, right, Brentford, the Sheffield United game and Burnley, right, that's 6 points. We would be on 50 points.
Yeah.
We'd be sixth.
Yeah.
That you're sitting there going, oh my God, brilliant.
Sixth with the game in hand as well.
Exactly. I mean, look, we're not going to get fifth, right? I think it's that little mini league of, I'd argue, well, I'm going to include them in it because we have a couple of bad results and we're right back down there. But you're looking at sort of that sixth to 12th spot, it's kind of one mini league. I think Fulham are kind of in limbo, like they're not going to get anywhere.
No.
But it's quite tight.
It is tight. It's really tight. And that's why these results are important. And, you know, who we still got to play in that? But we still got West Ham to play. I know that. I don't think we have any of the others to play. Have we got Brighton? Oh, we do have Brighton. So we've got Brighton and West Ham to play. We've played Wolves twice. I'm not sure about Bournemouth. We might have Bournemouth to play, or we might play them twice.
You got Bournemouth last game of the season.
There you go. So we've got Bournemouth, Brighton, Newcastle, West Ham still to play. We played United twice, played Newcastle twice, played Wolves twice. So they've still got three games against three of the six fighting for Europa. But obviously that result last night, the result on Wednesday in the Champions League, which was Dortmund losing. In the end, they got a goal back, which is a bit annoying. But in terms of coefficient, if Dortmund go out, the likelihood of England having the fifth Champions League spot and therefore the sort of dribble down of European spots benefiting potentially us if we can put our finger out is there. So, eighth could be Europe.
Well, I mean, look, we'll definitely talk more about that further down the line. Obviously, we're going to be with you right to the end of the season with every single one of these previews, every single match day, every single Friday morning you're going to be getting these. So, before we get into the actual Everton game itself, Thomas.
Hiya.
Actually, it's so weird not calling you Tomas, because I always go Tomas rather than Thomas, and I've gone Thomas. That's weird. Don't like it. We're going to go back to normal. Tomas.
Hello.
What is your forgotten banger?
I forgot about my forgotten banger.
Oh, it's funny that. You forgot about the forgotten banger.
I did. I forgot about the forgotten banger. So you know what I'm going to say? This isn't forgotten, because I literally went to his gig on Tuesday night. But I think he's got a couple of tunes that could work. Not sure how club-like they are, but it is such a tune. And he did well on Tuesday night, which is Grace Kelly.
You went to see Mika, did you?
I did, and he was really good.
When you said you were at a gig, I was a bit like, I don't know what that is.
What I was going to go, or what I was at, because I thought, I'm going to leave it, and I'm going to just chuck it in here. I was at Mika, he was really good, and Grace Kelly is a banger. I don't know how, actually, I think you could play that in a club. I think it would bang.
Yeah, that's cheese room,
Is it
quality.
Forgotten? Debatable.
Yeah.
There you go, bang.
I'd absolutely put that in the forgotten category. Grace Kelly. Yeah. Absolutely. That's that opening bit. I want to talk to you. The last time we met, thingy majiggy is, whatever. But, that's a pretty good one. Do you know what? I also forgot, not going to lie, but it's been a very, very busy week for me. But I'm going to stick on that theme. And this is a man I was listening to a lot of whilst I was in Italy for no particular reason. I just was. Not sure whether it fits forgotten, but it's definitely something I haven't heard for a little while when I've gone out, right? And I'm going to go for Robbie Williams.
Ooh, okay.
And I'm going to go for Rock DJ.
Oh, such a tune. Just from those two songs, well, the song I put in and my reaction, you kind of have gathered my sort of music.
Yeah.
Cheese Room. I'm Cheese Room all over, yeah. Cheese Room with a hint of indie and the occasional other stuff. That's a banger. I think that can count as forgotten, song.
Yes, it's one which I think... You've either listened to it all the time or you've not heard it for ages. It's like that in between. DJ.
That would bang. Like, in like a club like Cheese Room Vibes. Or imagine putting that on a wedding, which I imagine happens quite a lot. Bang. Oh, yeah. I'll pop. Yeah, I like them. I think that's two good picks.
I think that's a very good pick. I'm looking forward. Well, to be fair, because you've got two. Because you forgot yours last week. Because I don't think you were here.
Did I? Oh, I wasn't on. I was out. Oh.
Yeah. So you've got a double pick this week. I need one more from you. Do you want to stick? We can stick on that vibe. Shall I just hit? I'm going to hit radio on Spotify, right?
All we hear is Radio Gaga.
Not sure about that.
That wasn't my guess. Although it's a tune.
I've seen a few on this list, but they're not really forgotten.
Oh, how about this?
Okay.
This is prime first year uni, and I listened to this for the first time the other day. The Chainsmokers. With Closer. That song is
that,
a banger.
That is that I categorically place that in. I think that is the forgotten banger of the month, and we're only midway through.
And I just thought of it on the spot.
Yeah,
there you go,
you
guys. If you need your forgotten bangers, I had a playlist in front of me, but it was my playlist in fairness. Think of it on the spot. For future reference,
yeah. And if you need a playlist for it, Tom's gonna be making it by the sound of things.
I will make it.
Okay, that is Tom's responsibility before the next pod recording. Is he's got that forgotten bangers playlist has to be available on the Chelsea Echo Twitter account. But anyway, we'll move swiftly on. Forgotten bangers have been done. Tick tick boom. Let's move on to the next thing, which is Thomas's big question.
I can only laugh at this one, and also only apologise mainly to you, Louis, as this question has come out of a very weird place.
Okay.
Obviously, every week I ask a question that is loosely related to the opposition. This week we're playing Everton, the Toffees, as you may like, of the Toffees, as James Rodriguez once famously said. So, I thought I'd go down a weird historical rabbit hole about Toffees, and specifically...
Jesus Christ.
One specific toffee. Well, there's Originals. We're having a little mini history lesson, and we're going to tell me two facts about Werther's Originals. This is random, but that's the beauty of Tom's Big Question of the Week. At least this one is short and sweet.
Jesus Christ.
Right, so question one. Mr. Benevente.
Okay.
Where are Werther's Originals from?
I've got a feeling they're from Birmingham or something like that.
No. I'll tell you now, for your second guess, that they are not British originally.
Really?
Nope.
Okay, that's really throwing me off. I've got a feeling it's like, if that's the case then, right? Oh, please don't tell me they're French. Like I'm literally ripping the French apart.
No, they're not French.
I've got a feeling they're German or Dutch.
Which one are you picking?
Dutch.
Should have gone with your gut.
Oh.
German. They are German. They're now based in Berlin.
Das gut, ja.
As with pretty much any German food, the sweet brand is named after the town of Werther in Westphalia, where the company was founded in 1903. Which brings me on to my next question and final question on Werther's Originals before we go back to talking about Chelsea. What year were Werther's Originals first created? Hint, it's not 1903. Otherwise, I wouldn't have just told you that.
That makes no sense.
Well, the brand...
So, the brand was created after the sweet?
No. Well, no, the sweet was created after the brand, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm.
Werther's. I don't know. I'm trying to channel my inner Andre Schürrle. Trying to figure this out. I'm going to go for like 1894.
What if I gave you a sort of banger related clue in that the year that they were created is in a song title of a very famous Bryan Adams song? Does that help you? Do you know Bryan Adams?
The summer of 69 is the only one I know, yes. From Bryan Adams, really.
There you go. 1969. Is when Werther's Originals were created. And the name actually only came in the 1990s. And that's enough chat about Werther's Originals. You probably have three facts there you never needed and never wanted. But I gave them to you anyway. So have it. Drink it in. If you've never had a Werther's Original, buy them. We are not in any way affiliated with them. Werther's,
give us a brand deal.
I don't know any German that is appropriate anyway. I have one phrase and I'm not going to use it now.
Come on.
You
Tom,
want me to use it?
Be fun. Don't be boring. I know a German phrase.
Yeah, ich habe und lange Schlange.
Is it something about, I've got like a, that sounds like a massive cock or something like
it,
that, right?
I think it literally translates, I have a long snake, yes. it's the only phrase I know. I've never used it to a German. Maybe I should, see what happens.
Oh yeah, I think if we get an interview with a German player, instead of saying hello, literally just shake their hand and say that.
And that's interview's terminated before it begins.
You don't know, it's fine. We'll run it with the PR team first. Just so you know, guys, this is how Tom's going to introduce himself, and then after that he'll be really boring, but it's fine. This is the one thing which he will do where it'll be fine, and then you don't need to worry about it.
And then
it.
For the entire interview, whoever I'm interviewing, Michael Ballack, Antonio Rudiger, whoever it may be, is just sitting there really uncomfortably
looking at your crotch.
Maybe staring at my crotch and going, isn't that big? But anyway.
It's all right. Listen, lads, size doesn't matter. Remember, it's all about the motion in the ocean.
It's not about the size of the ship. It's about the motion of the ocean. There you go. There you have it. From the Echo, with love. Right. Do you want to introduce the reason we're all here?
Yeah. After Tom's been talking about his penis, well, we'll just move swiftly on. It's the show with the only part that has a jingle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
I'd like to clarify before I go into Stat Shaggers, I was talking about my snake. I might have a pet snake, you never know. Anyway, Stat Shaggers. history of the fixture. Everton, a team that have been in the Premier League since its inception, and Chelsea, a team who have won it five times. Two teams that are very important in this league, and they have obviously played each other a lot of times. 191 to be precise. Chelsea have won 75, drawn 56, Everton with 60 victories. So since 1907, that's a long time, these two teams have played almost 200 games. And this one will be the 192nd clash between the two sides. And I've already told you that we've won 75 of those, which might sound, oh, that's quite a lot. Well, it is, but it's also only 39%. So it's not exactly a complete domination like we previously had with Sheffield United, and that went really well. Recently, though, it has been a massive banana skin fixture, similar to Wolves. Those two, we always seem to feel like we play them in December, and we always seem to lose. Well, do we? Well, yeah, kind of. The short answer is not always lose, obviously, with Chelsea. But the stats shaggers answer is we have actually lost five of our last 10 matches against Everton, including the reverse fixture at Goodison Park in December of this season. We managed to lose 2-0. Abdoulaye Doucouré and Lewis Dobbin, who scored in stoppage time. And you may be wondering who Lewis Dobbin is. You're forgiven for that. I don't really know myself.
Lewis Dobbin has scored for Everton!
Yes, I think that was a Dobby-related joke. Lewis is now laughing to himself. Maybe you are at home. Who knows? Anyway, Chelsea have won just three of the last 10 against Everton. 1-0 at Goodison Park last season, and then 2-0 in March 21, and 4-0 in March 2020. And then, obviously, if you can do a bit of maths, Louis can't, then there are also two draws in that run of 10 games. So, yeah, not great reading there. But despite that awful record, all five of those defeats actually came at Goodison Park. And although the last two games at Stamford Bridge have both resulted in draws, Everton actually haven't won at Chelsea in a Premier League game at Stamford Bridge since November 1994. So almost 30 years ago. So there's something to be positive about. They did win on penalties in the FA Cup in 2011, but I'm not including that because it was a one-all draw after extra time. So it doesn't matter. Right, on to the manager record. Now, Poch had an excellent record against Sheffield United. And once again, it didn't matter. But Everton, well, he has an excellent record against them too. 2-0 loss at Goodison Park earlier this season was actually only his second loss against the Toffees in 15 matches. The other one came with Southampton all the way back in December of 2013. So of the other 13 games, he's won seven of them. He has drawn six as well, which is maybe too many draws against Everton. But in that time, there have been some thumping wins. A 3-0, a 4-0 and a 6-2. They all came in three games in a row between September 2017 and December 2018. But for me, and I now consider myself a stats expert, the most important and the most interesting stat here of all is that Mauricio Pochettino has never lost a home match against Everton, which to me, combined with Chelsea's excellent home record, makes for very pleasant read indeed for the London Blues, which is because Everton also wear blue, not because I'm suddenly working for Pro Evolution Soccer. Right, Everton's recent form. Well, they did beat Burnley last time out. 10-man Burnley, they beat them. We didn't manage to do that, so there you go. That's another win for them. But that was their first win in all competitions since January, and it proved vital in their flight for survival. The good news ended there for the Toffees, though, as after finally celebrating a much-needed win, they were then handed a second points deduction of the season, this time 2 points, which leaves them precariously sitting just 2 points above the dreaded drop zone. Prior to Burnley, there was a 1-1 draw away at Newcastle. Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored in that one as well, which ended a barren spell of three defeats on the spin. Bournemouth, Manchester United and West Ham all dispatching with the Toffees. So, to summarise their form, they're certainly not in great form at the moment. They are still only 2 points ahead of Luton, so the pressure is very much on for the second consecutive season. Luton played Manchester City, Everton played Chelsea. You'd like to think it'll be two wins for Manchester City and Chelsea. Who knows? The fact is, Everton have got their eyes on some big relegation battles coming up. Nottingham Forest, Brentford and Luton all to come in the next month. Let's hope they go into that a little bit shaky after another battering at Stamford Bridge. It's back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Thomas. That was very good. I enjoyed that stat, Shaggers. But I will have you know, I can do maths, right? I got a B at GCSE, and it's the highest grade I got because exams were not for me.
I forgot I had that digging somewhere. Sorry.
It's like, Louis can't do maths. How dare you? I run my own business.
I enjoyed your restraint not fighting back.
Well, it's immediately. No, it's one which I put in the locker because I was enjoying stat shags too much. So I let you off, right? No,
thanks.
No, I don't want any more bullshit from you. All right, no more of this.
I can't promise that.
No, that's fair enough. I didn't expect that. But I mean, look, before we get any further and we do anything else, where we talk about the game itself, let's do the Echo 11.
Mm.
And look, I think you mentioned low blocks, so I'm just going to assume we're going to have a lot of the ball here.
Mm. Do you want me to explain my reasoning for low blocks?
Go on.
This is Stat Shaggers Plus. Stat Shaggers Extra, if you like, which I included slightly further down, but I'll read it out now because I want to. Everton have only conceded 42 goals this season. We've conceded 52, for reference. Only the top three teams, so obviously City, Liverpool, Arsenal, have conceded fewer goals than Everton this season. But counteract that, they actually can't score them either. They've only scored 32, and only Sheffield United, who have scored 30, have scored fewer. So it might be hard to score, but even for our dodgy defensive duo or whatever is going on at the back at the moment, maybe this is the week for a little clean sheet.
I mean, I'd like to think it is. It's got to be that. But then we said the same about Sheffield United. So I'm going to take that other pitch. So, I mean, look, for me, like, Everton are a centre forward short of actually being a semi-decent side. Like, I'm not saying that Sean Dyche is going to have them absolutely flying. But I could see them in that sort of, like, mid-table sort of battle.
I mean, they've had what? Was it 8 points they've had deducted off them?
Yeah.
So if you put them on their 27, then they're on 35 and they're safe. They're just behind Everton. They're just behind Fulham. They're fine. They're fairly solid. As I say, they don't concede many goals, but they're not great going forward. So maybe you're right. Maybe there's a bit of method to your madness, but I'm not sure. In terms of Chelsea and the Echo 11, let's start in goal, which has been one of the only positions we've been sure of in recent weeks. Are we still sure?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I know that Jordi Petrovic may not have been great, but still feel more comfortable with him in net than I do with Bobby Sanchez.
I agree. I'm just starting to think maybe he's not quite as good as I thought he was as a number one. But maybe that's a bit slapdash hindsight merchanty. I don't know. That first goal bothered me because I don't really know what he's doing there. The trusty one. He's gone too far across. But yeah, I agree. Petrovic in goal. Left back. Any risk of Ben Chilwell? Or?
I'm going to say something very controversial here.
You want to play Mudryk at left back again?
That was at wing back, okay? Just hear me out. I'm putting Levi Colwill back at left back because he will potentially be available.
I've seen that he might be available, yes. Okay, interesting.
So I'm going, I'm not going to lie, we still conceded two, but we just did look a bit more resolute with Thiago as centre-back, I felt, in the second half. Despite conceding, I felt more confident.
He does give you that air of confidence. I agree with that. And so who are you playing with him? Which one of Dumb and Dumber are you sticking at the back?
Trevor. I just think that Disasi, like you said, like he's been available all season, but he's got the turning circle of a Russian tank.
Yeah,
whilst he's being bombarded.
I don't know if I'm being harsh on him because his frame is quite unforgiving. It's very obvious when he's making mistakes. Be like Harry Maguire, because he's so big and he's quite clunky. It's very obvious when he's been beaten. But there is a reason that we're mid-table, and there's a reason we keep shipping goals, and he is the one who's the constant. He's always in the team, and you've got to start thinking, well, you know, the phrase is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, if it ain't fixed, maybe change something. So I'm not his biggest fan. I'm not convinced by him at all. I know he's been available all season, and that's great, and I know he hasn't had a, a constant pairing. But that Man City game, I said it last time, biggest false dawn. I really thought, oh, here we go. De Sassi and Cole, there's someone there. And, okay, maybe we haven't seen much of Cole since, but I'm with you. I'm going Thiago Silva. I don't actually mind the Cole shot at left-back for Everton because they've got some big lads. You know, my man Jared Branthwaite, for example. But then who do you... So you're going Chalobah and Silva as the centre-backs.
Yeah, I mean, put this way, I don't think Benoit Badiashile and Axel De Zassi are better than Trevor Chalobah. I think they're all about the same playing field at the minute.
Yeah, and I would say, to be completely honest with you, I would say none of them are good enough.
So it's going to be interesting what's going to happen there. I mean, we all know what's going to happen. I think Trev's going to get moved on. It's going to be a difficult... I mean, we need another centre. We do need a new spine, basically, in the summer. So I'll have to see what happens with that.
Yeah. I think you're right. I'm ready to go with you there. Gusto, Chalobah, Silva, Cole.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I think, look, I know we're going to... We've moaned about seeing Cole at left back, but... I don't think Chile's good enough. And I think Cucurella is just looking a little bit...
He got regularly beaten against United because I was there and I was close. I could see him quite up. He was just... You know, Anthony, I don't rate him at all. And he was beaten constantly by Anthony. That is concerning. So, yeah. We're going to be in the market for a left-back anyway, I think, in the summer, unless we keep Ian Mattson, which doesn't look very likely. Nah. So... In the meantime, I don't mind just sticking Cole there and going, look, next season you'll be at the left centre-back. But for now, can you help us?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, ideally for me, I'd change back to a wing-back system because that's what this team's built for currently. But then at the same time, against Everton, I think we should really consider our options. And I think dominating that midfield is going to be important. And I think with that, you're obviously going to need... It's going to be the three musketeers. It's going to be the usual suspects, I think. It's going to be Caicedo, Enzo and Gallagher.
The underperforming trio at the moment, yeah. I would say. I'm not saying to drop them at all.
No.
Because I know what all three of them are capable of. And that's why it's been frustrating. People talk about the price tag. I don't want to talk about their price tags. Well, two of them, obviously not Gallagher. But they're just really good players. And whether they're not being coached well enough, whether their confidence is just shot, I don't know. But... It's frustrating because Caicedo started to find himself a bit and then he made that really bad mistake against United and now he just looked a little bit in his shadow for the rest of that game and then again against Sheffield United. But I know, I'm hoping for a big performance from Enzo after basically calling himself out in amongst you know the media, the press and everything. I'm hoping this is the time where Enzo goes on and goes, right, I'm going to prove myself and have one of those big games like I had last year.
I do think with Enzo, if you look at his numbers, as I'm sure you have, as our... designated stat shagger. They've dipped massively this year.
Yeah, they have. They have. And I think it's also not just numbers, as much as I want football to just be numbers, obviously, as a stat shagger and Excel lover. We're just not really controlling games anymore, really, at the moment, which is what Enzo, Caicedo, Gallagher, I thought that's a midfield that can control games. And it's not really. You know, as I say, that's why we keep letting leads slip. It's never comfortable. We have all this possession, but we're not. You know, if Man City had all that possession, which they regularly do, they batter teams. And, you know, they're a long way ahead of us, but that's the template, really, isn't it? So, I don't know. But I think they still play, because I think they're still quality, and they will click at some point. So you just got to persist. So that's the three. Palmer, obviously, for a full 90, please, Botch. Alongside Jackson. And then who else? Who else are you starting?
I'd start Mudryk again. It's probably, I don't know if, who's been their right back over the past few games? If it's been Seamus Coleman.
No.
He's a left back, isn't he?
I think he's been playing right back. Let me check. Everton last played Saturday. Everton.
It was Coleman in the last game.
Seamus Coleman.
If it's Seamus Coleman in the Newcastle game as well, like.
No, Mikkelenga has been playing left back. I thought it was a right back.
No, he's a left back, man.
Tarkowski. Ashley Young, Garner, Gomez, McNeil.
It was Godfrey against Newcastle.
They might do that because he's a bit quicker. Yeah. But either way,
but he's still shit. I'd back Misha. The thing about Mudryk, you get so annoyed because it's there. Like you can see. Yeah. He's coming. Yeah. He's getting better. The one thing I did notice, I saw an interesting statistic, was that he's completed only like 9 full 90s in his career. Might be less. So I'm not expecting him to complete the full 90. Would be nice. But I think that he's got those burners. And when his tail's up, which it can be against this lot, I think he'll be so good. I think that the thing is, he just needs that support around him, and he needs people to be in the bloody box. That is the one thing that we don't seem to have at the minute. Just get someone in the box. So, you know, for me, I think, but it'll be Misha on the left, Nico down the middle, Carl Palmer on the right. But that is the Echo 11. But we will move swiftly on, though, having spoken about that. You mentioned the full 90, and obviously how you mentioned it at the beginning as well about your devastation that Carl Palmer did not complete a full 90 against Sheffield United. Come on, let it all out.
Why? That's what I want to know. And I haven't seen any quotes on it, but why would you... I mean, was he injured? He didn't look very happy about coming off, which doesn't suggest he was injured. Was he tired? Okay, yeah, but there's 10 minutes left or 12 minutes left. We're goal up. If you leave him on for 5 minutes and he creates another goal and we're 3-1 up, fine. Then, yeah, fine, take him off. But we're goal up and we know what we're like. Does he not know that we shipped 2 in our last 6 games before that? Like, the likelihood is they will have another chance. We need another goal to kill the game off, and we took off our main man. You know, I talked about the stat before that without him we'd be wherever we were in the table, how many points we would have not had because we don't have Palmer on the pitch. Didn't have Palmer on the pitch, lost any kind of control or attacking momentum we had, and then they score. So it's frustrating. And the fact that game was on Sunday and we didn't have another game for 8 days later, so it wasn't exactly like we were City's position, we had a game on Tuesday. It doesn't make sense to me, but he knows more than me. Maybe he was carrying a knock, maybe he was, you know, I don't know, but to me it made no sense.
I mean, it's something which we've seen consistently this season, is that the substitutions have been not great and have left a lot to be desired. And I do think that there's definitely something to consider with Pochettino. I think it's important that he does adapt, because that is where, and I do want to see better subs. And, you know, against Everton, I want to see some semblance of consistency. I just want to see a team that can see the game out. And I know legs are going to be getting tired, but I don't have any time for it when you're playing one game a week. Sorry. Like, that when they're going, the congestion's not great. I'm like, hang on, mate. Like, no. We're not at that point. You know, we've had fresh legs pretty much every single week, and we've failed to capitalise on multiple opportunities. I did say this had happened at the beginning of the season as well. I was looking at it going, do you know what? Like, with how everything's operating, we need to make sure that we're in the right positions, and we need to appreciate the quality that we need to have. And, you know, everyone was banging on about, well, look what we did in 16-17. Well, that team had experienced players, and this side doesn't. So... we'll have to see what happens, but I'm just hoping that the substitutions are much better than they were. Obviously, you know, we've looked at everything here. You know, Everton have been really defensively solid. They've conceded 42, as you said, compared to our 52. But I mean, how do we tackle this? Do you think that in this game we can actually get the job done, or is it going to be quite difficult? Because I'm guessing we're going to be coming up against James Tarkowski, Jared Branthwaite, you know, the big, tall, strong centre-backs. How does this Chelsea side deal with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been dealing with it all season, and you'd like to think we've learnt our lesson, but we haven't. And this is probably, as I say, it's Sean Dyche, it's James Tarkowski, it's the duo. You know, they're just missing Ben Mee. And then be the same stuff again that we've seen with, well, what Sean Dyche managed to do with that defensive duo and get them seventh in the league. They don't concede many goals. What now? Right now, they just don't really have a goal scorer. But having said that, Calvert-Lewin has scored in his lost two. He's the definition of a, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just confidence player, I guess.
Or purple patch.
Gets on a purple patch. There you go. He gets on a purple patch, and he gets on a run. If he scores here, then I'm like, I'm getting in my FPL team because he'll score for the rest of the season. Hopefully, he doesn't. I feel confident. I've gone through all the stats. I've seen Poch's stats against them. I've seen our stats against them. Like, yeah, we might draw again, but I feel confident we can win this. I don't think it would be very...
I'm so confident we're going to draw again, but I'm so confident.
That's what this team have done to me, and the last two seasons have done to me. But I'll back it. I'm backing us. I'll back a win, but I don't think it'll be very high scoring. Do I back us to keep a clean sheet, even against this kind of tame Everton attack? Not really. I'll go 2-1 Chelsea. That'll be my prediction.
2-1 Chelsea. Okay. Well, I'm not going to give a prediction because every time I give a prediction, it goes wrong. So we're not going to do that.
You could
I think
have said like 7-0 Everton or something.
Who knows? I mean, look. Going forward, he said they're not great, but that's always the first sign of Charity FC making an appearance.
They will be up for it after another deduction, so we have to be up for it as well.
I mean, the way that they're this is what worries me the most. That's what I'm looking at going, right, like how are we going to deal with this now? Because Everton, right, whenever it comes to this end of the season, and it's just the culture of the club, and I love Everton. I think as a football club and a culture, they've nailed it. They're exactly everything that Liverpool should be. You know, it's actually the community around it, how they pull together. They're not in your face about it. It's a wonderful club. And I am slightly biased. I mean, I've definitely got a soft spot. My family from Liverpool are all Everton fans. So, you know, it's growing up around that and sort of learning from them. Like, it's a fantastic club. Hopefully, though, this weekend, Chelsea will get the job done. Or Monday night, technically. It's Monday night football, isn't it? So, you know, as much as I think I've got time for Everton, hopefully we can do the business because, you know, like you said, they're going to be up for it. They are 2 points above the relegation zone. And as you said, you know, they've got some tough fixtures coming up, but everyone's going to be fighting.
Every point matters at both ends of the table.
Every single point. It's a good season this year. Like, it's if right you're now, a neutral...
I think right now, every team has something to fight for other than Fulham.
That's typical. Like Fulham is just, you know...
Genuinely, that's
there.
True. Fulham are on 39, so... They're not going to get relegated. Palace on 30 probably aren't going to go down, but they still could if results don't go their way. And then from Bournemouth up in 12th, all fighting for Europe of some description. And then obviously you've got the three fighting for the title. Actually, I'm going to rephrase that. I'm going to argue that Sheffield United are gone, but they are still fighting technically. I don't know. Fulham are on their own chilling. Everyone else is fighting. That's a good season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine if Sheffield United had gone like a 7-game unbeaten run, and then I'm just going
to
whack.
That's the only way they stay up.
Yeah, I'm going to whack. If they do that, I'm going to whack my life savings on them to win the league next year. You know, I can feel it. They're going to do another Leicester.
Oliver Burnie is there. Leonardo Ujoa.
Oh, mate, that is a throwback. Him and Shinji Okazaki, yep. Ballers. We're not going to talk about Leicester. I was at the barbershop earlier today, and my mate who runs it is a massive Leicester fan, and he's not happy, that's to say the least.
They bottled it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I reckon they're still coming up, but, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Leicester, we're here to talk about the Chelsea, all right? So, let's hope we can get the job done. I hope you've enjoyed this preview of Chelsea versus Everton. Of course, post-game, we will be back for Final Score with the score hosting another fantastic space the other day. Tom, will you be joining us for that, do you think, post-game?
There's a chance. There's also a chance I'll be at the stadium. It's all up in the air at the moment. But yeah.
Well, I mean, look, post-game, we could maybe go get a little bit of Scran, maybe. You know, sit down.
If I'm there, yes.
Final Score, we'll have to see. If not, I'm sure you'll be in there, as will the others. And, of course, make sure you tune in to the voice note review that will be available straight after the game. It comes out, we're aiming, right, to get it in line with when Final Score ends. So you have like an hour and a half of the score talking, and then boom, voice note review straight out. We're trying to get organised here at The Echo. We are a proper outfit and we work with a fantastic company called The Sideline. So if you haven't heard about them yet, which I'm sure you have, by the way, with that fantastic town hall that we all helped with a couple of weeks ago, that is coming again. We're looking forward to doing another town hall with you guys and chatting more Chelsea with The Sideline. And this has been a Sideline production. So make sure you check out all the other fantastic pieces of content that are part of our network. Make sure you follow The Echo on the socials and make sure you follow Tom, more importantly, for some fantastic stats-based nerdiness, which is all Chelsea-related. It's going to be coming out a bit more, and I'm very excited to see what pointless stat he comes up with. Like, can we most like throw-ins or something like that, or something about throw-ins, or just something random?
I could do that.
I
you can do that. Actually, that could be a new segment for the week. At the end of each pod, you have to give me a random stat for the game, and I have to just find it.
Just told us to find the stat. We're going to do throw-ins this week.
Do you want both teams' throw-ins or overall throw-ins? Just Chelsea throw-ins?
I want which team had the longest throw.
Oh, okay. That's the challenge, but I'll try.
Okay, and then obviously, you know, we'll figure out. Because actually, that fits quite nicely. Did you see that there was the women's player who... she got the record, didn't she?
That was ridiculous. That made 38 meters. Yeah.
Oh, mate.
That was ridiculous.
Nightmare. Oh, that's just like, can you imagine just like if you're playing football with her and you give away a throw-in, you just know that you're screwed. Like, it is.
It'd be like the good old days when Delap was playing and the goalkeepers used to kick it out for corners because they'd rather a corner than a throw-in.
Oh, mate. That was, that was football. That was when football mattered, right? But see what does matter, Chelsea versus Everton. Make sure you tune in for it, obviously, Monday Night Football. And we'll be there to give you everything you need. Follow The Echo. Tell your nan and tell your gerbil. That's Tom, just another random person they could tell or thing.
Their Deliveroo driver.
Yes. Okay, right. If somebody who listens to this, we want to find a way for more people to find out about The Echo. If you are getting a delivery this week, right, please collect the delivery and film yourself saying it, getting it, and just say, make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo or something Chelsea Echo related.
Engage with the Echo.
On that note, guys, we're going to end the pod. Hope you've enjoyed it. Take care, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.
Bye.